Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, you have made us to be a part of your body, the church, and have blessed us with the opportunity to take part in the good work you are doing in the world. What a privilege, what an honor it is that you have entrusted us with your many blessings and made us to be vessels of your mercy and grace. Transform us, Lord, by giving us a spirit of generosity so we might joyfully share your abundant blessings with others. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be right and pleasing in your sight, for you are surely our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We continue during this Lenten season to examine how God has us under construction, how he is daily remodeling our character and our behavior. Let me ask you a question. If you were to be tested on your generosity today, what do you think your grade would be? This is not something that we consciously consider about ourselves very often, is it? But I'm prompted to ask that question after hearing the Apostle Paul speak in our epistle text for this morning about a group of impoverished Christians who were begging for the opportunity, the favor of being generous. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Have you ever wanted to share your blessings so much that you would beg for the opportunity, the privilege to do so, being ready and willing to give even beyond what you are able, even if it stretched you to that point of being a real sacrifice for you? I would think that many of us would probably answer that question by saying, not really. So let me ask you a different question. Could you be like them? Would you be able to imitate their generosity? As we consider the state of our own generosity this morning, let us first consider what it means to be generous. The specific example of the Macedonian churches was in being generous in giving financial support to fellow Christians. But was that act the definition of generosity? No. It was just the outward mark, the product of their spirit of generosity. Having a spirit of generosity is showing a readiness to give more of something. Your money, your time, your talent. More than is expected or is strictly necessary. Having a generous spirit means having a heart that is liberal in any and all giving, as marked by abundance and ample proportions. That is what marks a generous spirit. It involves giving lavish kindness to others. Generosity comes from the heart of one that is characterized by a noble or a kindly spirit. Paul says that generosity is a mark of grace. And in this morning's text, Paul not only challenges the Corinthians to follow the example of the Macedonians, but he also invites you and me, and he encourages us to take part in this same grace. Now, the specific encouragement that he gave in this particular passage has to do with collection of money to support brothers and sisters who were suffering at the time. But his invitation is really much bigger than that. It is an invitation to have a spirit of generosity in all things. It is an invitation not only to be generous with the financial resources that we have, but to give of our time and to use our talents and our abilities in service and support of others. As Paul encourages us in this act of generosity, he also tells us how we can have such a generous spirit. He points to the grace and the generosity which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. The riches that Jesus had was his glory, his being equal to God the Father. So what does it mean, then, that he became poor? The poverty of Christ is his incarnation. His poverty came in emptying himself of his glory, to make himself humbled to be fully human, to experience the full range of human emotions and physical needs. His poverty was in giving up his freedom, so that he became a servant to the will of the Father. His obedience to the will of his Father was absolute. And although he is free and sovereign over all of the created powers of this universe, his poverty is in placing himself underneath those same powers, tasting the full measure of their hatred and rejection, and even subjecting himself to the most humiliating and dishonorable death of a cross. And he did it for all of our sakes. Jesus was rich in the spirit of love for all men, so that he would submit to that cross as an atoning sacrifice for the sin of the world. He was rich in mercy and grace and forgiveness. And because of that, he was willing to give of himself fully as an act of ultimate sacrifice. The forgiveness that Jesus earned for us on that cross is the wealth by which he makes each one of us to be rich. We are each blessed beyond measure by God's generous gift of his Son to die on the cross for us in our place when we did not deserve it. And in reminding us of God's generosity in Christ Jesus, Paul also shows us that it is God's generosity that feeds our own. He helps us to see how God's power can cause us to be generous when we do not actually think we have the ability or the resources to act generously. Paul says in the next chapter of his letter to the Corinthians, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Paul says that our glass is full to the brim with the bounteous blessings of God. But those blessings are not meant just for us. Paul goes on to say, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. However, it is not in our nature to be generous and giving. In our sinful human nature, we want to hold on to everything that we have because it is selfishness that comes naturally to us. It's just part of our fallen and broken DNA, so to speak. But Paul gives us hope in the example of the Macedonian brothers and sisters. Paul tells us that these poverty-stricken believers first gave themselves to the Lord. Then they pleaded for the opportunity to help and to serve others. That has to be our first act as well. We must give ourselves all that we are and all that we have to the Lord Jesus Christ. And without giving ourselves fully to Christ, we cannot be truly generous. We need God's work in us to free us from that inherent selfishness and to turn us into God's givers. It is by God's grace that we are given a generous spirit, that He gives us that gift of wanting to be able to give to others. Only He can change our hearts so that we see this grace of being generous as something that we get to do as opposed to something that we have to do. So that we can see it as the Macedonians did, as a joyful privilege, not as a burdensome, grudging obligation. True generosity starts with what is in our hearts, and we should have no expectation that we can live generously or give generously without a reliance on that free, unmerited, and powerful grace of God. We will only excel in this act of giving when we learn to recognize generosity as an act of grace that is empowered by God. When generosity is understood in that way, then it is easy for us to see that it truly is a blessing, that it is even a privilege. It is this grace of God that turned the Macedonians' extreme poverty into rich generosity. It is that same grace that will turn our lack into abundance, our fear into faith, our hesitancy into eagerness. It is that grace that will open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to see what is truly possible by God's hand. Generosity is about a way of life which comes from our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reflection of how He has created in us a new nature and has changed our very hearts. Generosity is intentional. It has to do with choices that we make every single day. And as we grow in this grace of giving, in this spirit of generosity, that life will be characterized by a clear view that God is the source of all good things. Daily gratitude and thankfulness for God's grace. A desire to give back in response to the grace of God. A welcoming heart that practices hospitality. A discernment for those who are in need of encouragement. Loving compassion and care for those in need. Intentional seeking of ways to serve. Intentional planning for generous acts. And a willingness to serve others and to sacrifice for others. God has blessed us with all that we need for His purpose in our lives. But we are not an end in and of ourselves. God pours out His abundant blessing on us with great richness. But He does not want it to stop there. He has a much bigger plan for us than that. God wants to make us to be the greatest possible blessing for others. He wants us to be a blessing through our generosity of the gifts that He gives to us. He wants His bounty and abundance to flow through us. And as we worship and as we serve our generous God, He would have us to grow in generosity each and every day. Paul's challenge to the Corinthian years and years ago still stands before us today. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. As the Lord calls us to that grace of giving, He also reminds us that we are to rely on His grace, His bounteous blessings, not upon ourselves and our own resources. Remember, it is God's generosity which feeds our own, all for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I appeal to all of you today to continue to trust in God's never-ending, always available supply of grace. And in that grace, through that grace, to live and love in a spirit of generosity for our own good, for the good of others, and ultimately to His glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.